Welcome, everyone. Just to give a short introduction, as usual, to the meditation class. And one of the things that is so important in the Buddhist teaching, the things I've been talking about recently in this class, is this idea of having this straight view, a straight understanding of reality, of the Dhamma, of what it is to be a human being, and all these kind of things. And the more we kind of align our own view, the more we view things in accordance with the way things actually are, the more our mind tends to incline in the right direction, because we understand where to find happiness, we understand where there is suffering, where there are problems, and for that reason we tend to just naturally kind of lean in the right direction. So seeing things in accordance with reality is so important and so essential on not just the path as a whole, but also in one's meditation practice itself. And of course, one of these very important aspects of seeing things in the right way is the idea of non-self, because once you understand that, again, you understand where to find happiness and where to find suffering in life, what you can control and what you can't control. So how do we kind of cultivate that in our meditation practice in such a way that it boosts the meditation? What can we do? And one way of doing that I mentioned very briefly yesterday, and somebody reminded me of this as well, is the idea of regarding one's meditation as an act of generosity, as a gift to oneself and a gift to all other beings at the same time. Because when you do that, when you give something up, when it is for somebody else, we tend to reduce the control that we use in our meditation practice. We let go a bit of our self-concern. It's not so much about us anymore, it's about an outward giving to everyone and everyone else. So as you do that, you naturally tend to let go a little bit of the sense of self, and that enables you to become more peaceful in your meditation practice. One of the reasons for that is because one of the main aspects of the sense of self is the idea of controlling and being the agent and being involved in everything in life. And when we withdraw a little bit from the sense of self, we are less controlling, we are less the agency in life, we do less, and then we become more peaceful. But there is an additional benefit with the idea of seeing our meditation as an act of generosity, and that is when we have this kind of attitude, it tends to give rise to a sense of joy, a sense to feeling that we are living well, we're doing the right thing. Whenever you have a generous heart, it's a positive state of mind, it's something that supports your meditation practice. Generosity being one of those foundational, basic things on the Buddhist path. So how exactly can meditation be regarded as generosity? And of course, one of the ways of doing that is just to remember that when we live well, when we do the right thing, when we sit in meditation, we become peaceful, it has an effect on the people around us. It's not just for us. After the meditation, perhaps even during the meditation practice itself, it has an effect on other people, because we are more peaceful, we are more stable, we are more balanced in our lives. Other people will also reap the benefit of that. So it enhances our spiritual life, it enables us to live better. As a consequence of that, it actually is an act of generosity. It is a sharing with all the beings everywhere around us. So try to think of meditation like that. I'm doing this for the whole world. And because we ourselves are included in the whole world, it is also at the same time an act of generosity towards ourselves as well. And then it becomes a very beautiful thing. The ego goes down a little bit, and that more beautiful, peaceful joy that comes from the spiritual practice arises in its place. And then meditation becomes possible in an entirely new way. So these are just some skillful means, and just trying to kind of guide the mind in the right direction. See if any of these means work for you. And now just give it a try in practice. Okay, so as always, to start off the meditation in the same way, just by being comfortable, taking enough time to really relax and feel at ease. It's worthwhile spending quite a bit of time on this, just to get the starting point of the meditation just right. And as you allow things to be with a gentle kind of awareness, you will notice as you relax and things fall into place, that mindfulness tends to arise all by itself. So often it's just a matter of patience, of waiting in the present moment, having the right attitude. And as you do that, the mindfulness tends to arise. And it's such a natural and easy process when you get it right. There's hardly anything that you have to do. A little bit of nudging here, a little bit of nudging there, and the process happens by itself. And if you want to give your meditation a little bit of a boost, try what I suggested before and dedicate your meditation practice to all the people, to everyone around, all the beings that you are likely to meet down the line. And dedicating it in this way, by giving from yourself, making your entire meditation an act of generosity. And by thinking of it in this way, see if that helps you to feel more positive about your experience. as you very gently guide the mind in the right direction in this way, often there will come a time when it just feels right to start watching the breath. Feel everything comes together, the breath appears, and when it happens, very gently place your attention on the breath and go on this marvelous journey, just you and the breath, nothing else in the whole world, moving onward in this beautiful path of meditation. We're now getting very close to the end of the meditation. Before we get to the end, I always recommend people to look back on the process. Why are things happening the way they are? If you feel more peaceful and at ease, why is that the case? What are the perceptions that you have used? What are the things that you have let go of? Try to understand how this process actually works. Okay. Does anyone have any questions or comments about the meditation today? Anybody want to say anything here? Quiet? Okay, yeah. Very good. Okay, so let's have a quick look at the questions from overseas, it seems. Okay, so they have the first question is from Alan Bequet, I think, Bequet from the US. When dealing with anger, how can we apply meditation in the moment to acknowledge and accept the anger instead of resisting it? Okay, so how to deal with anger in meditation, and of course, the way we deal with anger in meditation is the same as how we deal with anger outside of meditation. It's basically the same thing. And as you quite rightly say, there's not much point in actually just suppressing it or repressing it or pushing it away. That doesn't usually work. So really, if you find that you already have a problem with anger before you start to meditate, it is usually good to deal with that first of all, before you even get started. Because it's very difficult to do anything, you can't really relax properly, you can't do anything if there is some ill will and upset there as you start out. So deal with the anger first of all. And as you say, don't suppress it, don't repress it. There is anger in the moment. Instead, just look at it with a cool head and a kind of equanimous way and see what is going on. And very quickly, you will understand that what is going on is that you are attending to something in a certain way. You're looking at something in a certain way. And that way of looking at it is what gives rise to anger. Very often anger has to do with people. So why do people make you angry? Because you are seeing some aspect of a person that you don't like, that makes you angry. That is the problem. So what we have to do, you have to train the mind to see other aspects of that person. And the more you train the mind to look at the other aspects, the more you build that up, the easier it is to shift your focus when anger arises next time. Also, learn to forgive other people for the negative qualities. Recognize that people are the way they are because they have been conditioned that way, not because they want to be that way. So in a sense, those people are actually victims of whatever it is that they have, which is negative and that you get angry about. And once you kind of use simple techniques like that, it is not that difficult to overcome anger. Anger is one of those things that can be overcome fairly easily, with a little bit of application, with a little bit of, using a bit of wisdom in this particular way. So use that first of all. Then when your mind is in a nice, even state, that is usually the right time to try to sit down and be peaceful. Otherwise, it's not going to work out. You're going to fall asleep, or you're going to mind is going to be all over the place, you're going to repress it and all this kind of stuff. Okay, next one is from Nitish Bezala from New Zealand. Dear Ajahn, can you please tell us how we can use meditation to help us become more patient? Well, meditation is really, it is about patience, yeah. So that's what meditation really is all about. It's about the ability to just sit back and observe and to be in the present moment. Yeah, and this is what it is really, a large part of what it is about. And one good way of doing that, you know, the opposite of being patient is really to have craving and desires. Craving and desires are the things that drive us on in this world, that make us restless and agitated, is the opposite of patience. So remember that all the things that we desire in the world, that we crave for in the world, they are so uncertain and so unreliable. You might get something and then soon after you get it, you lose it again, your relationships break up, you lose your job, you know, whatever it is, it's so incredibly unreliable. And because of that, you don't seek anymore for happiness in that world. And the moment you withdraw that interest in that world, because you understand how unreliable it is, how impermanent it is, how it can change at kind of at a moment's notice, things may seem very stable, and suddenly things are incredibly unstable in that world. You withdraw the interest in that, it means the craving dies down, and you become patient as a consequence. Then you can sit back in your meditation, and you start to see how things calm down, you allow things to be. So that is one of the crucial ways, is just to withdraw a lot of interest in the other world. And suddenly, just sitting down, being peaceful in itself, even if you haven't got much joy or anything like that, just being peaceful actually is quite beautiful in its own right. You can see how the will is often a painful part of experience. So try that first of all, and as your meditation progresses, you will naturally become more patient because you will understand how the meditation progresses and that patience is an incredibly important part of that. Okay, third question is from Sandra Bell from London. How long to meditate is it recommended for someone that is clinically depressed? Well, as always, I would just recommend people to meditate as long as you enjoy it. Yes, as long as you find that it is beneficial for you, that it makes you feel more relaxed, it makes you feel less tense, it makes you some of that negative feeling that has to do, comes with the depression, as long as that kind of subsides a little bit, as long as you're enjoying it, stay with it. Yeah, meditation often has a kind of almost like a natural rhythm to it. You meditate and things become peaceful, and then you can sort of come out of it after a while. And follow that natural rhythm, see where that rhythm goes. And then when you kind of feel that meditation has come to an end, that's usually the right time to get up and do something else. Yeah, reflect on something, listen to a Dhamma talk, or do whatever else that you do in your life that gives your life meaning. Yeah. So enjoying it is such an important part, and that kind of gives you that a vital input to enjoy, to practice much more in the future, because you are enjoying what you're doing already. Very, very important part of meditation practice. Okay. So that is all for today. So let's just pay respect to Buddha Dhamma Sangha.